B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati Roadshow continues. We're at Hurricanes at the Garden, down the street from the Boston Garden, in advance of Celtics-Clippers tonight, which you'll hear on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Maz, Murray, que pasa?
Should have just slept here last night.
Right.
Down on the street, for sure.
Yeah, there's a courtyard right around the corner. Could have slept there.
No problem. I thought we'd start with Nick Caserio. How do you feel about that?
Fine.
Nick Caserio, Patriots personnel director, whatever his title is, rejoins the team yesterday. Sort of a surprise report. Ben Volen, the first to report it. Before I get going on my spiel, do you have a lead takeaway on that piece of news?
Well, I was surprised. I mean, I was surprised when I saw it. I thought for sure Caserio would be gone this spring, that the Patriots held him to the contract, and that whether it was going to be Houston or maybe even someone else, but in all probability Houston, after he flirted with them a year ago, that I thought now that his deal was up, he'd end up back with the Texans. Obviously, there were some developments down there. Bill O'Brien took over the GM job. So, but I thought all that stuff was breakable, ultimately. And I thought Caserio would end up there. The one thing I thought for sure is after everything that had transpired and the Patriots standing his way, I thought he'd leave. I thought that's where it was headed. Now he's back. So, I'm surprised. I don't know about Murray.
No, I'm with you on this. He seemed desperate to take that Houston job. He really wanted it. And like you said, things change because, now goofball Bill O'Brien isn't just the idiot coach. Now he's the idiot GM in Houston, too. So I don't know if there was another job out there for him, but it just felt like to me he wanted out. And then they force him to stay because of the contract. And I would just think if it's up, I don't know, have some pride, man. Like, walk and then, not work for a year and then take a GM job in 2021.
Okay, so I think it's fascinating. I think it's a big piece of news. I think it's potentially a huge piece of news. I think it's potentially we have our successor to Bill Belichick. That's what I think this might be. And obviously,
as a GM, you mean?
Well, the leader of the football department, the guy who runs the building. So that's what I mean by that.
But he's not going to coach.
I don't think he's a head coach. No, I don't. But in terms of who's the president of football operations, who's running the department, who's running the building, who runs football, it might be him. It might. I mean, so that's why I think this is a huge piece of news. And I'll get to that second. The first thing, I think it's kind of typical Patriots in that you guys are right. He wanted out. He had been blocked twice from not just taking the GM job in Houston, but even interviewing with the GM job in Houston. And he was pissed about it, and you knew it, because it was leaking out either from him or his representation that he wanted out. I'm reading Ben Volen from June in the Boston Globe. Now, Ben Volen broke the story yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So it feels to me like Ben Volen had a pretty good beat on this situation.
No question.
So let's not, let's not dump on the source here, because this source broke the story. So he's on the inside of this. Ben Volen wrote in June in the Boston Globe, "The real story in the Patriots-Texans clash? Nick Caserio wants out." That was the headline. He wrote, so Caserio will be back this year. And again, this is last June when the Patriots blocked him from interviewing again with the Houston Texans. So he'll be back. So the Patriots' power structure remains intact. So all's well that ends well, right? Not in this case, wrote Volen. The Patriots may have won this round, but keeping Caserio isn't the real story here. The real story is this. Nick Caserio wants out of New England. Specifically, he wants that Texans job, even though it was more of a lateral move than a true promotion. And to prevent Caserio from leaving, the Patriots had to enforce a clause in his contract and file tampering charges. The Patriots' win keeps Belichick's right-hand man in Foxborough for another season, but also exposes some tension inside the walls of Gillette Stadium. He's dead on in this because he's in on Caserio. So before you dump on that, he had the news yesterday. So... And Greg Bedard at the time also wrote stuff. He wrapped it into the Jack Easterby stuff, right? Remember the chaplain?
Character coach
who bolted and then tried to come up here and court.
Had no character,
right. Tried to lure Caserio during that the ring ceremony in Kraft's backyard.
That's a good trick. A character coach was sneaking behind the scenes.
So for years, they had C-blocked Nick Caserio.
Right.
Coach blocked.
Right.
They blocked him. You know, not only can you not take a promotion, we're not even going to let you interview, to the point where we're actually going to file tampering charges against those guys, and we're going to block your career advancement. And Casario's pissed. He wants out. You know, Casario's mother bleeping them. They're mother bleeping him. They're at odds. He wants out. It's back and forth, and this is going on a couple of years. And it's like, he's out. First chance he gets, he's out. First chance he gets, he's out. And then he comes back. It's like, that's so typical Patriots. And it's gone on. I've seen it over and over in different circumstances with different guys. The way these guys screw each other over and mess with each other and how pissed they get in the day-to-day and how they go back and forth. And then at the last, they come back. And I've seen it over and over. And I'm seeing it now with Josh McDaniels, you know, once again, with this last round of stories that McDaniels wanted to go down and interview with Carolina. He wanted to interview with the Giants. But Belichick said, nah, you got to finish these reports. I'm not going to let you go. And meanwhile, those teams hire somebody else. And McDaniels is pissed. And you know he's pissed. And he's legitimately pissed. And F Bill. And Bill's like, F him. And that, you know, they're back and forth. And it's real. And then Josh stays. And so I just feel that's instructive for the Brady thing. I really do. Because you know Brady feels this way. You know they're at odds. You know they've been back and forth. You know all these things. And then at the last, is Brady just going to stay just like McDaniel stays and just like Caserio stays? And it's like Helsinki syndrome.
Oh, listen, totally fair point. I mean, again, it's like, you know, they're all too eager to go back and work for Bill at the end of the day. Now, look, there's other variables in this case. Like maybe they get more money. Maybe there there is some succession plan. I'll tell you what, I started thinking about this morning, too.
But if an employer screwed you over so badly, we're not going to let you better yourself. We're not going to let you better yourself. We're not going to let you look at it. We're not going to let you talk to them. You know, and in fact, we're going to go after him for tampering charges, and we're going to stand in the way of you bettering your life and making more money. Would you ever work for that company again?
It depends. Do I have anywhere else to go?
Right, and that's sometimes because my immediate answer would be no, F them. But at the end of the day, if you don't have any other options and you really need the money, and change can be really difficult, it's just easier to put your tail between your legs and say, "All right, I'll stay."
I mean, particularly if you have a family.
Right.
Right? Like, there's that element, too. So it's easy to say, you know, screw you, I'm out of here, but where are you going? For how much money?
I just think there's a weird dynamic down there.
No, I don't dispute that.
Where they run around porking each other, and then at the end, they come back. And it's like...
That's just part of the Patriot experience.
It's just, I guess, you know, it's a competitive thing, or I can't really put my finger on it, but it is... This is not totally surprising to me. It's not, because I've seen it before. I'm seeing it right now with McDaniels, and I might see it again with Brady. And I think all the intervening things are real. I think all the intervening things are real. And they still just, you know, come back for more. Okay, so that's just that side piece. And maybe it is instructive for Brady. I also think if Nick Caserio, his next job is going to be a GM job, right? I mean, like, his contract was up after the draft. And you know he's going to have offers to run a football department.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a slew of former Patriots guys that we're not super aware of just because they're sort of behind the scenes here. But Bob Quinn runs it in Detroit, and there's a guy named Robinson who runs it in Tennessee. And obviously, Dimitroff and Pioli were down in Atlanta. And so this is going to be the next – Casario's going to get one of these jobs. He's going to run a football department. He's going to run a team. Except he stays. Why would he stay for anything other than that kind of promise? Now, he's obviously not going to get it under Belichick. But what if there's a promise long term? You're the guy. I mean, what would get him to stay and turn down a chance to run a football department somewhere else? Now, he has to wait a year because he has to wait till after the draft. And I don't know. I can't believe that you know, that gap would prevent him from doing that. But they had to make it worth his while beyond just the money. You know, I think it had to be something.
Well, I hope that's in writing.
Meaning?
That if he's going to be the successor to Bill, I would want that in writing. Because I think that's been the speculation that's probably what they told Josh McDaniels to come
back. So that's
back.
What I was just going to say. Go ahead, Murray.
Do you really think Josh McDaniels is going to be the next head coach of this team? Because I have my doubts.
Why?
I just don't see it. For one, I don't think Bill's going anywhere for at least the next 5 years.
Right. So
you're going to hang on for six more seasons?
So that's the odd thing, too.
Play it out, though. I mean, McDaniels came off the plane from Indianapolis, right? And we all thought at the time it's because he was earmarked as Bill's successor. He was out looking for a job this offseason, wasn't he?
Yep.
He was ready to go to New York and interview for that job, but he was pissed. So how much assurance could he have that he's the next guy after Bill if he's pissed that Bill stood in the way of the Giants.
So I just wonder. So, I mean, I felt the same thing about Josh, and maybe he's not the next guy. But I feel it with this guy because he was out. And he's been here for 20 years, and he's the next guy. He's the next guy.
The whole thing's weird.
That a team is going to hire to come in and run a department, run the building. You run the building. You run the football department. That's it. You hire the coach. You pick the groceries. It's your team. And so if I'm him, am I going to stay unless I have assurances that I'm that guy here? And it's obviously not going to be that when Bill's here. But is there a transition there that they are planning for? And in which case, I'm glad for it. Like, I want as much transition as possible. I want as much carryover from this regime to the next one as possible. And so I think overall it's good news. You know, if I'm the Patriots, I think this is good. This is a coup. And this is gives you a chance to sort of keep that thing going forward. But is he the next guy? And if he is, how do you feel about it? Jimmy, you may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. This is what we're talking about to start. If he's the next guy, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I don't mind it. Again, I'm good with a continuity here, too. I told you, I don't feel the same way about Casario that I feel about Josh, where I look at McDaniels and I say, I feel like he's overrated, that he's had Tom Brady. With Casario, it's hard to know.
It's impossible,
because,
right?
Because of Bill peering over the shoulder and ultimately having say on personnel and draft picks and everything else. The only other thing I thought of with this whole story today is whether Casario and McDaniels are linked. And by that, I mean, and O'Brien factors into this, too. Meaning, McDaniels was going to take the job out in San Francisco that one year and allegedly didn't because he couldn't bring Casario with him.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So that Casario was
going to go
if McDaniels was the coach. Then Josh was going to go to Indianapolis, but one of the holdups is that he wasn't going to be able to bring Casario, and then the Crafts lured him back. So now maybe it's evident that Josh is staying in New England, and Casario says, well, if I'm ever going to be a GM, it's going to have to be somewhere else in all probability. So he goes to Bill O'Brien, who he also worked with in New England as a known commodity. So that one was, okay, I'll take that job. Now Josh is off the coaching market again, and Casario's saying, well, I'm not going to go be the GM for some coach or work with some coach that I don't trust. I wonder if there's some sort of link between Casario and McDaniels.
You should. Is that the plan? McDaniels, Casario, and is it going to happen sooner than we think?
So if the succession here is the tandem,
yeah,
I like it better than each one of them individually.
Agreed, yeah.
You follow me?
Absolutely, 100%.
Like, so if that's the idea, we're going to keep them both. And now they know it because they said to Josh, okay, the reason we stood in the way of you going to the Giants is because we're going to keep Nick, too, and we want the two of you to be the succession plan.
Well, I mean, how about this whole thing of now, too, the Crafts, when they first bought the team, they split the duties, right? It was Bobby Greer with the personnel, Pete Carroll coaching the team, Andy Wozenchuk doing the books. You know, they tried to institute at the end of Parcells, and then we get the famous line, and they want you to cook the dinner, but they won't let you shop for the groceries. And then they say they learned their lesson, and they gave Bill full control. What are they going back to? What's going to be the next one? Is the next coach going to run the whole building like Bill does? Or are they going to split it back up? Like, I find this fascinating, and I just wonder if this is a part of this story.
I bet they split it, and I have a theory as to why.
Okay, we continue with this thought. Your thoughts on this. If Nick Casario is the next guy, and that doesn't mean he's the coach, but he picks the coach, and he's in charge of the football department, and he's in charge of the next coach, so he's, for all intents and purposes, the next guy. How do you feel about that? 617-779-0985. Back with more right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Tonight, it's the Celtics and the Clippers at the Garden. Right now, it's Felger and Mass live at Hurricanes at the Garden. Thanks to Miller Lite on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nick, I got to ask you about the Houston situation. Just how do you feel about how all that unfolded?
Yeah, what I would say, look, I'd say I'm pretty honored and privileged to be in the position I'm in, work for the organization. It's a great organization with a lot of great people. I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have each day to come to work and come into this building. So we've got a lot of great people. I'm fortunate and honored to work with Bill on a day-to-day basis and a lot of other people in this building. My job is really just to serve the people that are in this building. And we've got a lot of great people, and my focus is in trying to do the best that I can every day and be the best version of myself for this team and this organization, and that's what the focus is.
One follow-up, please. I believe this is now twice that the team has blocked you from interviewing for this job. Is it hard to put that aside and do your responsibilities now here?
I love being here, and right now we're focused on trying to get the team ready for this season. And, you know, I'm happy to be here, and I love what I do on a day-to-day basis.
That was Casario back in June. You're scoffing already?
Well, because you can't see or hear the red dot that appeared on his chest when he was saying that those final few words. I like being here. I love being here. And there's no place I'd rather be. Bill from the side with a laser sight.
Seriously, either on. That or he's wearing a dog collar.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. They shocked him every time he said something. It's one of those.
What's your conspiracy theory? No, Matt said it.
Oh, right. Yeah, you said that this was...
You said, I have a theory on this. And, of course, Maz has completely forgotten.
No, I have forgotten it. Yeah, I told you my idea was that Casario and McDaniels are tied together.
And then you said right before the block.
I know, and I don't remember what it was.
No, okay. It was why the jobs were going to remain separate.
Oh, yes. Yes, why the jobs remain separate. Yes. And that is that Belichick's a rare bird. It's too big a job for one guy. And to do it the way Belichick does it, that inevitably most people aren't capable of handling it that way. And so the Crafts look at it realistically. They say, what are our chances really of finding the next Bill? And they're microscopic. And so they say the better thing to do is find a tandem of people who can do what Bill can do, because there is no one guy who can replicate Bill Belichick. We're talking about the greatest coach in the history of the league. I mean, really, who are we talking about? Lombardi? Doesn't exist. Shula? Doesn't exist, and Bill's better. Right? So I don't think you're going to find one guy. Like we say this all the time, there's a massive coaching shortage in the league. And so who's the next guy? Can McVay do it? I don't think so. And he might be good, but there is no one guy.
And here's the truth. When they first hired Belichick, he did not have full control. I mean, he did-ish, but the...
He had to earn it.
The Crafts had their finger on the button. Andy Wasenchuk was still in the building. Andy Wasenchuk did not officially leave until 2005. And not that Wasenchuk was making football decisions, but let's just put it this way. There were still layers between Bill and the Crafts, and... Bill was sort of cagey about the full control. I mean, I remember, like, because it was such a hot-button issue from Kraft and the shopping for the groceries, and the way the Troika worked with Pete, Wozniak, and Greer was really a disaster. You know, players running up the back stairs. So it was really an important issue at the time when Bill took over. Do you have full control of the operation? Do you have personnel power? Do you have full control? Full control. And Bill, you know, said he did, but there was always sort of a yeah, but in it. You know, he got off to that bad start, and it would get a bad start in year two. And he did not put it to that. He didn't have anywhere close to the control he has over the building now. Okay, now it's complete dictatorship. It's, you know, his deal, and then it's him and the Crafts, him and Robert. But when he first got there, there were some layers. And after he started winning and winning and winning, then he slowly... So if the Crafts say, you know, the model we want is for the coach to have full power, my guess is they would say, actually, we want to make sure that he's up to it, and then we'll give him full power.
Yeah, at least to start, right? And then, you know, like you said, if you're up to it, then you see how it goes.
But so I just wonder, you know, Nick Casario, if Nick Casario's the guy, he's not going to cede full power of the building to the coach and then answer to the coach. He's in that position now.
Which is why he needs a coach he can work with.
So, like, I just think this is the dynamic here of this hire. And if Bill really wants to catch Shula and it's another 5 years, what is Nick doing sticking around being his do boy, you know, for the next 5 years? When you can go run a team and have your own job. Like, what's up with that?
Good question. I don't know.
So,
I mean, it is weird. The whole thing's weird.
Questions on and thoughts on all this. 617-779-0985. Billy, lead us off. Hi, Billy.
How you doing? I'm with you on the coaching part of it. I think, you know, he did have some role in the coaching on that team. And I think they might have given him an offer. I'm agreeing with Jimmy. He better have it written down. But I really believe they gave him something to look forward to. I got a little question in there. Don't forget, Belichick's son is trying to work his way into this coaching situation.
Great point. Great point,
Billy.
I
just want to dream. I just want to put it out there.
Okay,
the thing is, you know, there's only two things more important than Bill, and that's his kid and the Patriots.
Great point, Billy. Let me just stop you. Quid pro quo. I keep you. We pay you lavishly. I give you powers that I wouldn't give to anyone else. You're the guy. And when it comes time to replace me...
We've got to keep the nepotism train rolling. Ugh. Oh, I hope that's not true.
That's a really nice point.
I'll tell you, though, if I were Bill, I wouldn't want my coach to succeed me in the same market. I mean, like...
Your son, you mean.
What did I say?
Your coach. Same thing.
Okay, so I wouldn't want that. I would want him to be somewhere else. And, I used the Shanahan sort of as an example that Kyle's in San Francisco. He's not in Denver, where Mike won Super Bowls. I just think that's an impossible succession, particularly if you're the next guy. Like, 10 years, 20 years down the road, whatever, maybe.
Let me tell you, though. I mean, we're in the middle of Brady Watch. This, to me, is much more important. This transition is much more important than the transition they may be going through right now at quarterback. The transition at quarterback is huge. Don't get me wrong. But with Bill here, I think there's a layer of protection and a expectation. They'll get it right and figure it out and at least land on their feet to some degree. When Bill's gone, like that's the one I'm worried about. I'm worried about that one much more than I am the quarterback.
You
one.
Should be worried about that one. Maybe the crafts are.
And so I think in some respects this is a more important topic than the Brady thing. It's not nearly as juicy and it's not going to be the staying power of it and all of this. But I think this is a potentially huge decision. And I'm glad. And all that saying, I have no idea if Casario is good or not. There's no way to know who's who. Did he pick the fat kid from Georgia? Was it his bright idea to take the stupid running back at the end of the first round?
No.
Duke Dawson in the second?
He wanted Lamar Jackson.
Casario did?
Yeah. Google the words Nick Casario, Lamar Jackson. Immediately what comes up, he was at the pro day. He was one of the guys in on him. Him and Josh wanted him. Who didn't was Bill. That's one of the reasons you should feel good about Casario staying.
Okay.
And if Bill's gone, I think he can pick the right players. I don't put the failures of the last three drafts on Nick. I put it on Bill.
I just don't know. I just don't know who's who. I mean,
as long as Bill's there, it's hard to believe that anybody did anything consequential without him, signing off on it or overruling it.
Of course.
Because it's just he's got too much power. It's all about Bill entirely.
John. Yep. John in Arlington. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Do you guys have any reports that McDaniels was upset that he got blocked from going to any interviews?
Yes.
Like, has there been anyone out there saying that?
Yes. Several people.
There has been?
Yes, sir.
Because I think Maz is right on with what he's saying about him and Casario being the next two guys that take over for Bill when Bill's gone, and I think that's why he got blocked in the first place and wasn't mad about it, but was okay, was fine with it because he got told that he was the next in line.
So, look, John, this I can tell you for a fact, that McDaniels put it out there that he was pissed. That he's pissed. That Bill, again, C-blocked him. Coach blocked him. On the Panthers job, the Giants job, he put it out there. I happen to think it's a little bit of an excuse that McDaniels wasn't going to get those jobs. He got passed over again. But to make himself look better, he put out the excuse, Bill wouldn't let me go interview. I had to finish these reports. And I think that's sort of Josh saving face from the fact that those two teams wanted someone else. But trust me, he put it out there that he was pissed. Even Mad Dog came on and said, I heard McDaniels is pissed at Bill. So if Josh and Nick are the next guy, I'm actually really good with that. I like it. I want it. I want that transition. I want the continuity. I want it. Are those guys going to wait for five freak? Is now Bill waiting to catch Shula, 347? What's it Bill at? He's at like 298 or something, whatever it is. I mean, Bill's got 4 or 5 good years to catch that old cooter. And are McDaniels and Casario going to wait around for that and be his, and I say this with all love and respect in my heart, but just to drive home the point, his bitch for the next 4 years?
Doesn't feel likely, right?
Just so he can catch Shula when other jobs have come available for him?
I don't know.
I mean, this whole dynamic to me is it.
Yeah, the whole thing is fat. Maybe it relates to Brady.
And Billy in Rhode Island made a great point. Does Bill want Josh to be the next guy, or does Bill want Steven to be the next guy? And I know following him, here is going to be a tough task, but maybe Bill says this will be his best chance to succeed as well. Because I know Casario knows what he's doing, and we'll set him up with the next quarterback, and we'll set everything up, and he'll walk into a ready-made situation, and yeah, he'll be my name, and in this place, it'll be hard on him, but he'll also have a good team. and I'll make sure of it.
You think the Crafts will go for that?
No, I don't. Because I think at some point, Jonathan especially, is going to step in and say, the Crafts own the team, not the Belichicks. Sorry. Like, so that whole dynamic, too. We continue again with your calls on this. 617-779-0985. First, an update from Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz are pre-gaming at Hurricanes at the Garden. Thanks to Miller Lite. It's game time. It's Miller time on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Like, titles aren't the most important thing in the world around here to us. Winning is.
Does he have executive power over roster decisions? That's your power.
You know, I have never talked about contracts. I'm not going to start talking about them now. So I don't know why you would bring it up.
Just for clarification down the line.
There's no clarification. I'm not talking about contracts, period. Players, coaches, or anybody else's. Never have, and I don't plan to.
So that was Bill back in June when the whole Caserio thing was hitting the fan. Only pro sports team in America. I'm going to venture to guess. It's the only team in America, maybe the world, where you can't ask them who the GM is. You're not even allowed. You're not even allowed to ask who's the GM, because that's essentially what that question was. What is Nick Caserio's title and what are his powers? And you can't even, if you ask that, you get tisked by Belichick. I don't even know why you're asking that. I don't know why you're asking that. It's the only team in America where you can't ask a simple question, who is the general manager.
He's a pill, man, isn't he? He is. He's a pill. Like, seriously.
Like, somehow that's going to put him at a competitive disadvantage or what? To say that, no, I run the football department and Nick assists me, but he's got a lot of power and we really love. I mean, like, who gets hurt in that analysis? Because who really thinks that Caserio is the GM? I mean, he's not. He doesn't make the calls.
No, no way.
Of course he doesn't. I mean, so, I mean, like, I get you're not into titles. I'm glad you're not into titles. And I'm glad you don't, like, you don't need to talk openly about all this stuff. But where are they put at a competitive disadvantage? Where are they hurt by just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why do you got to scold the media for simply asking you who the GM is?
Good question. I don't know.
It's just so that's a completely unique Patriots experience there.
I mean, so, I don't know. Maybe if he says that Caserio, maybe it suggests that he's not as good as everyone thinks he is, which I wouldn't think. I'm just saying maybe it suggests that. I mean, to me, we all know how good Bill is. You would think the farther along he gets in his career, the more secure he'd get. You know, it doesn't feel that way. So I don't, you know, I told you, he's a fascinating guy on multiple levels. There are times you look at him, though, and go, boy, are you a pain in the ass. Like, it's really not worth the effort sometimes with him.
Bill, oh, no question about it. I mean, please. Like, it's more of a distraction in a story by answering the way you answer it versus just, no, he's not the GM. He's my personnel assistant. But we love him. He's got a lot of power, and we're glad to have him.
No, it's like he's doing his
next
best
question.
To
like
teach
what?
The rest, all the reporters there to sit in silence. He doesn't want to have to answer anything.
Story's over.
Yeah.
Over. I know there was all sorts of, like, you know, I guess, sensitivity towards, you know, is he going for a promotion with you? So I understand there's that sort of nuance, but who doesn't, behind the scenes, understand what his title is and what his responsibilities are. Like, anyway, so this was interesting because that was like, I guess it was during the mini camps probably in June, because all the sound is from June, and it's when all this Caserio stuff came out, that Volan column, Caserio wants out of New England, and Bedard's writing the same thing, and the Jack Easterby stuff, and so when all that stuff was coming to a head, so Caserio was asked himself, you know, what do you want? And this Caserio is just a little bit, he is mini Bill, man. He's
totally.
He's just sped up a little bit. He talks a little quicker and a little louder. But boy.
The tone and inflection is pretty spot on. He sounds just like him.
So at the time, Karen asked, you know, Nick, what do you want? Go ahead.
I was just wondering, perhaps down the future, perhaps when your contract is up here, would being a GM with sole decision-making responsibilities be something you would be interested in?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I'm not really focused on the hypotheticals. I'm focused on today. And honestly, I'm focused on trying to be the best version of myself each and every day. And honestly, it's more important for me to, I mean, you guys see me after practice, to try to be the best husband, the best father to my kids. And I get more joy out of that than anything else. Ultimately, that's going to matter more than anything else. So I'm blessed to be here. I enjoy every day. Each opportunity, each day is a new opportunity to try to improve and get better. And that's what I'm focused on doing.
Oh, brother.
Lip smacks, pounding of the podium.
Seriously,
and cliches. He's Bill.
He is. He's Bill, but younger.
A little
and less accomplished.
A little more volume, a little sped up, but basically the same.
I mean, really?
Freaking thing.
Unbelievable. Like, thank you for not answering the question.
It's like, you know, do you want to be GM? He can't even answer. He's in some shape or form, you know, a little afraid to answer it. At least McDaniels, when he's asked, still says, yes, I want to be a head coach. And he did. He was clear about that when he was asked about it. And when he has been asked about it, he said, yes, I want to be a coach. And I have to think that Nick wants to be a GM, except he's not going to be that here. Unless, is he? Did they promise him he takes over the football department when Bill's done? And in which case, is he willing to wait the 4 to 5 years? Is it going to take Bill to catch Don Shula? Or is there something more immediate coming? And does he pick the next coach? Does Nick pick the next coach? Is that what that means if he runs the football department? Like, all this stuff I'm fascinated by. And I find a much more important story than the quarterback thing, which is super important. I'm not telling you that that's not important. But I think the transition from Bill is when the rubber really meets the road around here.
Do you want Casario picking the next coach?
Yep. Oh. Yeah, sure. Yes.
You don't want the Crafts doing it?
Well, obviously they're going to have veto power over anything, and that's why I sort of hesitated, because there's a nuance there. The owner has final say on everything. And so the people who think, you know, I don't want the owner to meddle, I don't want the owner making decisions, they all do, and they should. That passes over their desk, and they're the ones that have to say yes or no. So the Crafts will weigh in, obviously. But no, I want Casario picking a guy that he's comfortable with and he wants and he can work with. So, yes, I want Casario picking the next coach. And our first caller, Billy from Rhode Island, raised a great one. You know Bill wants Steven. Bill wants his son to be a head coach and put him in a good position. And, wow, could there be room for a quid pro quo in there with, Nick, we're going to pay you out the ears. You're going to hang on here. You're going to run the football department as I ease out. Keep your options open on coach. But our defensive coordinator is pretty good. And et cetera, et cetera. Like, that transition, that story.
I just don't think there's any way the Crafts allow that. I can't imagine they would allow that. Like, Bill's going to pick the next coach?
I agree.
No way. No shot. Like, I have a hard time believing that if Bill, that they'll let Casario do it.
What if Steven's good and they know it? What if Steven's really good and they know it?
How'd that team look week 17 against Miami? We think he's good?
So that's an interesting question. My gut would still be no.
What if he is Kyle Shanahan, who is capable?
Was Bill good when they hired Pete Carroll?
He's gotten better.
Okay, but they knew he was good then.
Yeah.
So, but it wasn't the right time, right? So I would use the same argument. I don't think Bill's son should succeed Bill. I don't care how good he is. We're never going to really know until he does it. And my answer is no.
Okay, back to your calls and the latest on the Brady Watch right after this. Felger and Maz from Hurricanes.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Getting you ready for the Celtics and the Clippers. It's Felger and Maz, live at Hurricanes at the Garden, thanks to Miller Lite, official partner of the Boston Celtics on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, to be clear, like, I do kind of think, I do think that the Titans and the Raiders, if you're asking me right now, if we're putting odds on it, are the favorites. And beyond that, the idea that I don't necessarily see him returning to New England. That's not to say he won't, but I just don't have that much faith in the meeting that needs to occur between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to get enough done to where Brady feels like he's ready to return. I mean, we're essentially expecting those two guys to get into a room for Belichick to say to Brady, Tom, we love you. We need you back. The only way we're going to win these Super Bowls is with you. We're going to give you some decent money. I'm going to ask you between March 16th and 18th, we're going to find the guys that are going to make this offense tick again. We're going to get you some blockers. And Tom looking at him and say, you know what, coach? That's great. I'm not going to string you along anymore. I'm going to give you two more years and I'm going to retire. You know, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's my plan. And if that happens, yeah, I think it works. I just don't have that much faith in that conversation. And if it does happen, I think it's actually a great thing. Honestly, I think it'd be best if Tom just goes back to New England. Same. And finishes this thing off the right way. I think that that would be best for everybody. I just don't know, with the mindset of Belichick and the mindset of Brady right now, that it's going to happen.
Yep. Jeff Darlington, ESPN, on Tom Curran's podcast, NBC Sports Boston. And Jeff Darlington has been explained to me as mobbed up with the Brady people. So he's a Brady guy. And he thinks Brady's gone. He said Titans Raiders are the leaders in the clubhouse. And he does not think that they can thread the needle and satisfy all parties in time to make it work for Tom Brady to come back. So that's Jeff Darlington's take. He also had an interesting thing on, and to me, this is one of the big hangups I have with Brady. One of the problems I have with Brady is that he wants to be shown the respect, and he wants to feel like he's a partner and that he's not just some slappy rookie, and he wants Bill to get off his back and blah, blah, blah. Like that piece to it, that bugs me. It's like, come on, man. Like, Bill is who he is, and it's part of his greatness. And as much as it bugs all of us, you know, it's part of what's made him who he is and made the team what it is. And you want him to change just for you? Like, did freaking Paul Hornung ask, you know, Vince Lombardi to go easy on him? I'm sure he did. Screw Paul Hornung. Like, it's like that whole part of it, like, bugs me. And it rubs me the wrong way. And Jeff Darlington, you know, addressed that as well. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I understand why people so easily want to say Tom will get over it and he'll just understand that that's how Belichick is. But at some point, and I think that point, that sort of pressure point is right now, Tom is saying, well, maybe I don't want to be over it. Maybe I don't want to just take that and accept that and finish my career that way. Maybe I want to go have some fun with someone who shows me the appreciation I think I deserve. I get that that's a very fine line where people want to poke fun at Brady for that. But look, if you're in a relationship for 20 years, you're allowed to, at the end of that, decide ultimately what you want to do. And I think that that is an important factor for all of us to consider as he kind of weighs his future.
Okay, wants to have fun, be shown appreciation. If that's the case, are they off to a good start? Because Bill hasn't even called them yet.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, which way is this headed? But again, I'll go back to the Casario thing. Casario wanted out. Casario was mother bleeping Bill. Bill was mother bleeping, you know, back and forth, and this is no fun. And Casario, you think, is the next guy out in this exodus out the building. And the next thing you know, Casario stays. And it's just sort of that weird dynamic down there where the people hate it, or the guys want out. I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of working for this guy. And then when the rubber meets the road, they come back. Helsinki syndrome or something like that. So is Brady going to be, you know, just the latest incarnation of Nick Carcerio and Josh McDaniels to take it and say that they want out and threaten that I want to be treated differently and this ain't the way it's supposed to be? And then when it comes time to go somewhere else, they say, no, I'll just come back.
I mean, he hasn't. Well, that's what he's done to this point in his career.
Correct, sir.
Right? He's done it over and over again. So now is he going to change? I don't know. I mean, at some point, you know, you do reach a stage where you say, I don't need this anymore. And I don't think Brady needs it anymore. You know, now, again, he's got all the titles. He's got all the money. What he wants is for Belichick to look at him basically as a peer. That's what he wants. Bill's not going to give him that. Bill runs the team. He's the coach. So the only way it ends up going in Brady's favor is if he leaves, he wins, and Bill loses. You follow me?
Yeah.
In other words, Bill doesn't replace him.
Right.
And all of a sudden, then I think it tilts his way a little, and people are more apt to say it was more Brady than it was Bill. But I don't see where that happens if he stays here.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts at 617-779-0985. Vinny and Revere. Hi, Vin.
What's up, guys? Hey, listen, so in my opinion is kind of a little off topic, but you're looking to replace arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of the league, and you're looking to potentially replace the greatest coach in the history of the league. That's a lot for one organization. I personally think whether Brady stays or goes, it's a two-year career left for him. I think he's going to stay. I think Felger's got it right. I mean, replacing Belichick's going to be much more of an issue. And at the end of the day, I think you made a statement the other day where if this team goes 8-8, you know, 6-10, 2-3 years in a row, you're going to see the fan base get really upset after winning for 20 years. So I definitely think the coach is much more of an opinion, a priority, in my opinion.
Well, the coach is just a bigger job. I mean, the coach is it's just a, you know, really, and as Maz mentioned, you know, not many guys can do it all, coach and GM and the whole thing. And it's just, boy, to me, that's a transition that that is not going to be as sexy or as interesting as the Brady thing, but is more important. And so I just wonder if this Casario thing is part of it. Is he the next guy? Have they told him he's the next guy?
I mean,
and when I say the next guy, not that he's the head coach, but he runs the football department. When Bill's done, it's Casario's team.
I mean, I'm just spitballing here, okay, because we let our wheels run wild when the McDaniels thing happened, and McDaniels came back from Indianapolis. How much time does Bill have left, et cetera? Is there any chance all this is related to Brady? And when I say that, I mean Casario's here now, McDaniels is here now. If Bill gets overruled and Brady's brought back in a multi-year deal and Bill doesn't like it,
yes, the pieces are in place around Tom Brady.
Okay,
yes.
I'm just asking. I'm just asking. I'm not telling you that's what I'm just, you know, is it?
What would have Bill stay, you know, doing this job for the next 5 to maybe 8 years? I think if he's re-energized with a new quarterback. So I see what you're saying, Maz. If Brady does come back, he's overruled, it's big money, it pisses him off, maybe he walks and these two are now the guys running.
And
the so, show.
Or right, even if he doesn't walk, he doesn't re-up.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. I mean, as you're spitballing, that Casario's leverage against Bill.
Exactly. Maybe it's more of a Kraft doing than a Bill
doing. Exactly. Meaning we're going to protect ourselves in case you get cold feet here or don't like the way we manage it. We've got the next guy in place.
Exactly.
We've got the whole thing in place.
Exactly. So the same reason the Krafts would have pulled McDaniels off the plane, which is what the stories were at that time, that, you know, it's what I don't remember is the timeline of McDaniels as it pertained to Garoppolo. That's what I don't remember, whether it was the same offseason or not, you know. So in any case, Bill might have been pissed off at Garoppolo, and they say, Bill walks on us, we need the next guy, or here's the successor. And this safeguards them for Bill leaving. Now they've got both.
Interesting theory.
Especially after McDaniels got rejected by Cleveland, right? Now he's back. Now we're going to extend for Casario because here's our succession plan.
We're going to pick this up right on the other side of the update. There are no commercials, so don't go anywhere. There's one open line if you want to grab it. It's 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.